This morning, I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer, and then we're going to be in the book of 1 John, and I want to talk to you this morning about victorious faith. And seeing as we are in our missions conference month, and in the next hour, we're going to be talking about what we should be doing. And I want to encourage you all to be a part of that. But everything that we do, the Christian life, it takes faith. And so we'll talk about that today. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer, and we just thank you for the morning that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for those who have come, Lord. We do thank you for those who are tuned in. And Father, we pray for those who are en route to coming. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with them. Lord, help them to get here safely. Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon this Sunday school hour. Lord, I pray that you would have your hand upon our service today. And Lord, I pray that souls would be saved. Lord, I pray that hearts would be changed. And Lord, I pray that as a church, we'll move forward in the Great Commission and the things that we need to accomplish for you. And Lord, we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, if you'll turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, and Brother Cleo, I'm going to have him come up and read verses 1 through 5, and then we will talk about victorious faith.
Good morning, beloved.
Morning.
1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen. All right. This morning, I want to talk with you about faith and victorious faith. Faith, folks, as you all know, is extremely, a believer can't be without it. A believer can't be without it. And the Bible tells us here, whosoever believeth that God and everyone that loveth him that begat him also that is begotten of him. And so we're going to talk about faith this morning, because in our lives we need it. It's what defines us as believers, putting our faith and trust, first of all, in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. The Bible also tells us concerning victorious faith and the definition of faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for in the book of Hebrews. And just to kind of help us understand what faith is that thing that you trust God for that you cannot see. You may not have all of the answers. It's just something that that God tells us and we must act upon. And again, going back to saving faith. I don't know. I don't believe there's anybody in the room this morning that was there when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. But yet we have the Word of God that tells us he was. I don't think there's anybody here 33 and a half years later after his birth when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. I don't think there's anybody here that witnessed that. And what we do is we put our faith and trust in God's Word and what God's Word says, and we believe that he was crucified, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And the Bible tells us here that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now again, we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We confessed him as our Lord and our Savior, and we put our faith and trust in him for a home in heaven. And again, that's the thing that we're hoping for? And okay, how can we hope? How can we have the reassurance of that hope? Well, we have the Word of God and we put our faith in it. And again, we not only need to trust the Lord in our saving faith, but in every area of our walk with the Lord. We need to be trusting the Lord. Concerning the declaration of faith, it is the sign of our conversion. Having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the sign of our conversion. Concerning the dynamics of faith, it is the source of our power. It's really kind of sad. Many Christians today lead a defeated life. They don't have victory over areas in their life that they should. And the reason for that is because of their lack of faith and their lack of trusting in God. Faith, it is the shield of our protection. It is the staff upon which we lean. It is the solace of our hurts. And it is the solution to the world's problems. And boy, I'll tell you what, folks, that last one there is really, really a big one. And when we turn on the news and think about it today, faith is the solution to the world's problems. We've got an election coming up, and I do encourage everybody to make sure that you're registered. You make sure that you go out and you vote God. And if you'll do that, and you'll put your faith in action and be a witness, but we need to trust the Lord in other areas. And so the first point we're going to look at here, victorious faith is required in God's work. We must understand, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Christians, without faith, the Bible tells us here very clear, very, very upfront, without faith, it is impossible to please him. We must have faith, brothers and sisters, in every area of our lives concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was taught good work ethics, and I praise the Lord for that. Now, one of the hindrances of that is I started working at a very young age in my life. I would deliver newspapers every morning. I would get up every morning during the summer, and I would have a grass cutting job for every day of the week. And I would still be at my friend's house getting him out of bed in the morning. And you say, well, where are you going with this story, Pastor? Well, I became a very independent kind of person because I started very early, and again I started working to solve a problem in my life. And that problem in my life at a very young age was I got tired of wearing my brother's hand-me-downs. I got tired of wearing my brother's shoes that he wore the year before that I got the next year that we had to put duct tape on them, so they didn't clap, as I walked down the school hall. I would have my blue jeans, every pair of my blue jeans had two patches on the seat and two patches on the knees. My coats, the sleeves were patched up and the zippers, buttons would be sewn on the outside so because the zipper didn't work anymore, and my shirts, where he'd rip the pockets, they'd have a big stitch down, and I got tired of wearing those clothes. So what I did about that clothes, you say, well, didn't your parents love you? Well, yes, they did. But when you come from a large family of seven children, and you happen to be the second son instead of the first son, well, the second son always gets the first son's clothes. And I got tired of that. And so what I did is I went to work in order to provide and buy my own clothes And I thank the Lord for that. Now, again, you know, there were some things along that line that I really kind of thought it was unfair, you know, my parents. You know, I figured since I was going out there and earning the money and I was paying for my own clothes and my own shoes, you know, I ought to get to pick what I wanted to wear. You know, my parents didn't look at it that way. They still told me what I could buy and what I couldn't buy. And you know, and one day I did get a little bit brave and I asked my dad, I said, well, Dad, you know, it's my money. Why can't I buy what I want to wear? He said, it doesn't make a difference whether it's your money or not. You'll do what I tell you. And so that, you know, kind of settled that up real quick. But again, these things in my life really kind of made me a very independent person. Now, where that made it difficult in my life is putting faith and trust in somebody else. And in my spiritual life, it made it hard to put my faith and trust in God, because I was, if there was a need, I just, you know, I figured out a way to get it done, and I went and did it. And I got to the point in my life where I bypassed anybody else. You know, I just tried to figure it out and get it done. You know, I really think that's a big problem that we have in our Christian work today. Because what we do is God gives us an assignment. God gives us something to do. And we kind of look at that assignment. We kind of look at that situation and we begin to think, okay, now how can I take care of this situation? How can I bring this situation to a resolution? What can I do to fix this problem? Well, the truth of the matter is, the Bible says, is it impossible? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You know, there's some things that God don't want you to figure out. What He wants you to do is He wants you to just trust Him. He just wants you to, you know, just like my dad would tell me, it doesn't matter, you just be quiet and do what I tell you to do. Trust me. I know better. And there's many things in our lives, folks, that God gives us, and He gives us an assignment to do. And what He's telling us is He's telling us to trust Him. Just be quiet and do what He said, and He'll work out the details. But, you know, if you're like me, you know, that's really hard to do, you know, because I, you know, before I start out on a trip or before I start out to do something, you know, I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what it's going to cost. I want to know what's going to happen before I ever get there. But in the work of the Lord, sometimes what He wants us to do is just to respond, to do the things that He tells us to do. And by doing that, we must often act contrary to feelings. You know, many times we say, well, you know, this doesn't feel right. Yeah. You know, sometimes in the Lord's work, what we got to do is we've got to act contrary to feelings. And if we do that, we'd get a whole lot more done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, folks, in the work of the Lord, sometimes we must often act contrary to facts. Contrary to facts. You say, well, what do you mean? You know, if you've got the facts, that pretty much sums it up. That pretty much settles it of how it's going to go. Well, you know, that's not really how it goes with the Lord a lot of times. You know, and again, you know, the fact of the matter is I know how much I make on my paycheck, and God has commanded me to tithe. God has commanded me to give in missions, and many times God lays upon my heart to give love offerings, and you know, and again, the fact of the matter is at the end of the month, the bills are much higher than the income. And the fact of the matter is, you know, probably what I ought to do is go back and look and cut some things out. You know, when God tells me to give a missions offering or tells me to give me a love offering, you know, the fact of the matter is, well, I really can't afford it. But what I've got to do as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is I've got to act contrary to the facts. I know that I can't afford it, but you know what? I've got to obey God. I've got to put my faith and trust in Him, because I guarantee you, God's math does not add up to your math. And the second point we'll look at here this morning is victorious faith in response to God's will. If you want to turn with me there to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14, you know, one of the greatest things that we can learn from the children of Israel and their deliverance out of Egypt is that God was in control. God took care of many things, and especially as they went out from Egypt, they faced many battles that looked like they were going to lose. You know, one time they faced the Egyptians as they were fleeing in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13, and it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he showed to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Now you see, the children of Israel, as we know that story well, they had left Egypt, and God delivered them by a mighty hand, and they left out of Egypt with their arms loaded with seemingly everything that they would need for the rest of their life. And as they were heading out, and Pharaoh, his heart hardened, and he decided that he was going to go back and get the children of Israel and bring them back and put them under bondage. And as they headed out, and they got to the point when they got to the Jordan River, or to the Red Sea, they were in a mess, because the water was in front of them, the Egyptians were behind them, and they were boxed in. You know what they were doing? They were following God's will. They were following the direction that God had given them. You know, oftentimes when we follow the direction God gives us, what's going to happen is you're going to have enemies. You're going to have enemies. Whenever you're following God's will, no matter what it is, no matter what stage it is in your life, and no matter what God tells you to do, you will encounter problems. You will encounter enemies. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. But you know, also in the midst of that, what you'll encounter is watching the Lord Jesus Christ deliver, watching the Lord Jesus Christ work these things out. And you know what? Sometimes when we face situations in our life, you know what God wants us to do? He wants us just to stand still. And then that's the command that he gave to the children of Israel. You know, when that command was given, that command did not make sense. Stand still. Well, you know, they couldn't go forward. At least they could turn around and maybe raise up their swords and maybe head on and fight the Egyptians. Or at the very least, you know, and as what some of them wanted to do is to put the white flag out there and surrender and go back to the Egyptians. But what God told them and what Moses commanded them, God commanded them through Moses, he commanded them that they should fear not and stand still. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but that's a hard thing to do. When you're facing a situation in your life, or a circumstance in your life, or a financial situation in your life, and the Lord says, stand still, it's like, now wait a minute. I should be arming up. I should be fighting. You know, there's things that I need to do, but you know, the problem is there's those things you need to do, or I need to do, but you know what God wants to do? God wants to show you how great he is. God wants to show you how mighty he is. And when God takes care of it, that enemy that you face, as he told the children of Israel, he said, "For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." You know, sometimes the reoccurring problem that we have over and 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 over again, a lot of times the reason that problem keeps coming back around is because we've not handed it over to God. Amen. We've not, I've done this before, and I wish I could say that, I've learned, but I haven't. Where I've got a problem or I've got a situation, and I go to the Lord in prayer, and I pray to the Lord, and I say, Lord, take care of this problem. You know, I'm giving this problem over to you, but then it's not very long, and what I do is I take it back because of lack of faith. And we need to trust God. And again, you say, well, how can I trust God? Well, we can look back and see what God has done. And we can look back and we can see the victories that God has given us. And again, here with the children of Israel, why would God have brought them out of bondage and brought them to the place that they were at only to kill them off? If we would stop sometime and if we would consider what God is trying to do in our lives, we'd figure it out. God hasn't brought us this far to kill us off. God hasn't brought Faith Independent Baptist Church this far in this many years to kill it off. What He wants to do is He wants to show us. He wants to show us how He'll deliver. It is the will. It is willing to stand still and trust God to do the work. Victorious faith is being willing to stand still and trust God to do the work. It is being willing to move at the Lord's command. And it is being willing to step out on the impossible. You know, in our fight and in our battle, when God tells us to stand still and to trust Him to do the work, and then He gives us a command, He says that it is time for us to move. You know, we need to move on the Lord's command. We need to be doing what God tells us to do. You know, God, and we're going to talk about this in the next hour, that the last command that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I haven't seen anywhere in the Bible where God said, the Democrats are in charge, yield, hold, wait, don't go. Oh my goodness, COVID, church, it's okay. Relax, stop, don't witness, don't knock on doors, don't tell people about Jesus because, hey, COVID. You know, I haven't seen anywhere in the Bible where God has told the church to retreat. And I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God tells us when we get old, stop. You know when God's done with us? When we're not breathing anymore. Amen. When God's done with us is when six people carry us out of this building and they put our dead body over a hole and it's lowered down. That's when God's done with us. Until then, folks, we need to follow and we need to move when God says move. And we also need to step out on the impossible. You know, when we look at things today, you know, we might get the ideal that preaching the gospel today just isn't going to work. It's impossible. Getting the gospel message out, it's just not going to work in these days. You know, we've got all these people. They're hard headed. They're sinful. They don't want anything to do with the Word of God. You know, if we look at it, and if we look at our economy, if we look at the circumstance we're in, we might at this point be saying, hey, what's the use? Let's just all gather around here and wait till Jesus comes. You know, let's sing Kumbaya here in the church and gather around and let's just wait until Jesus comes, because it is impossible to do what God told us to do. You ever thought about this? In every dispensation of the Bible, God had a group of people that He worked through. a group of people that he designed to fulfill the task of their day. You know what God's done for us? The church. He has designed us. Praise the Lord. He's given us all the equipment that we need. He's given us all the resources that we need to accomplish the goal that he's given us to do. And if we'll trust him, and if we'll just go ahead and be obedient, and we'll step out into the impossible. You know, the river, or the Red Sea for the children of Israel did not part until they first stepped in. You know, many times we wait on the bank and we're saying, okay, Lord, yeah, they're coming. They're coming quick. They're almost here. Part the water. Part the water. Well, the water won't part until you first step. And praise the Lord, we know how that story goes. Or that account in the Bible went. The children of Israel walked over on dry land. All of them, every one of them, got over to the other side. I went and picked up rocks, built an altar, and the Egyptians followed in, and they stood on the bank on the other side while the waters closed up and the Egyptians were drowned. And that enemy that they had, God took care of. You know, I'll tell you what. I guarantee if the children of Israel would have decided to take care of that situation themselves and charge the Egyptian people, they would have lost. I guarantee you they would have lost. Because they were outnumbered. They were outpowered. They were outsourced. They would have lost that. And I want to encourage our church today. What we need to do is we need to step out on the impossible. We need to get out there and we need to start knocking some doors. Everybody, oh, that's impossible. It doesn't work anymore. Well, the reason it don't work is because we're not going out there doing it. They're going to slam the door in my face. Yeah, they are, but that's okay. You know what our responsibility is to be a witness. What they do with the message we give them is their responsibility. We're not going to stand before God and hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, well, you knocked on your neighbor's door and they slammed the door in your face when you give them the message, you made a big mistake. No, what he's going to say is, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou good and faithful servant. And that neighbor on the other side of the door, they're going to be the ones giving an account for what they did with the message. So we need a victorious faith in response to the will of God and what he wants from us. We need to step out into the impossible. The third thing here is victorious faith in resting upon God's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3 in verse number 5 and 6, it tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, we need to have faith in the divine wisdom of God. We need to rest upon that faith. We need to trust in that. You know, I've got some plans for tomorrow. And there are some things that I want to get accomplished tomorrow. But you know what I don't know? I don't know if what I've got planned is even going to be possible. I don't know what's going to take place. I don't know what tragedy might befall me. I don't know what circumstance may befall me. But you know, I know who knows. And the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What you're saying is, Lord, I don't know about tomorrow, but I'm going to trust you for everything in it. You see, that's faith. Because, yeah, we might have plans. I know some of yous, are planning up and, planning on getting up in the morning tomorrow, and you're going to head out to your place of employment. Or you've got a chore or something to do. Tomorrow my goal and plan is to try to sleep in as long as I can. But I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if that's going to work out. And you say, well, you know, preacher, it's Monday. Why are you sleeping in? Well, Monday's my Saturday. And so I do a little bit of rest on Monday. But again, I don't know what's going to happen. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, when the problems come and everything that we face, what we got to do is we got to trust the Lord with all of it. We're good at sorting things. You know, we look at our life and we say, God, I can handle this one. Nah, I don't need you. You know, Lord, you know, go ahead and take another day of rest. I've got this under control today. And how many times do we get along that day and we find out that, we really didn't have what we thought. Because, again, the Lord knows what's going to happen. It says, in all thy ways, with all thine heart. And then it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Again, that's reassuring us and letting us know that how things look to us look completely different to God. You know, we look at the storm. He's looking through the storm on the other side. And he knows what direction we need to go. He knows what safeguards we need. And what we need to do is the Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding. What you see and how you see it and how you understand it, the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. What he's saying is, trust God. He knows better. He knows how to guide us through. He knows how to get us through. And I know, folks, I have the same thing that you have in your life. And sometimes when I look at it and I think, man, you know, this just isn't going to work out. And the Bible says, finally, there in that verse, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. You know why we should have a prayer life in the morning? And you know what that's talking about there? In all thy ways acknowledge him. We ought to have a prayer life in the morning so that we can ask God permission for the direction we're going to go. Amen. All thy ways. You say, well, you know, preacher, I'm going to work. Acknowledge God. He may not want you to go to work. You know, you say, well, you know, I'm going to go visit this person, or I'm going to go this direction. I'm going to go on vacation. The Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what that's saying, and in everything that you do, and in the life of a Christian, and everything that we do, we need to make sure that we acknowledge God. We need to make sure we ask his permission. You say, now, wait a minute. I'm my own person. I can do my own thing. No, if you're a saved, born-again Christian, the Bible says you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. And he tells us here, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Why would you want to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways? Well, because he knows what's really going to happen. We just have an ideal of what might happen. And then it goes on to say, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, we ought to be willing to let the Lord change our direction. You know, and sometimes that's really hard to do. Amen. That is really, really hard to do. And I know in my life, I've faced several situations in my life where I've thought, you know, Lord, I've asked you, can I go here or can I do this? And you've told me no, and you're sending me another direction. You know, in that direction that God sent me was areas in my life that I really needed to trust him. Can I give you a confession here this morning? When God directed me to become your pastor, I was probably, and still am, unqualified for the job. I'm just being honest with you. You say, well, now, wait a minute. If that's so, what are you doing here? God brought me here. Amen. God said, this is where I want you. And by me realizing that I am unqualified for the job, you know what I'm saying? Lord, You changed my direction. You brought me here. So I'm going to trust you when I run into the brick wall to help me to figure out a way over it, under it, or around it. You know, Lord, when I run into something that I'm unsure about, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to go back to your word, and I'm going to have to search diligently and find the answer. You know what? Since I've been your pastor, every situation where I have been unsure, every situation where I've not known the answer, and I've gone to the word of God, God has gave me the direction. He gave me the instruction. He showed me the way to lead. And what we got to do, folks, in our lives, we've got to be willing to allow God to direct our paths. And sometimes the path that He might send you down may not make a whole lot of sense. And you'll look at it and you'll think, well, I'm not qualified for that. I don't know how to do that. You know what God's saying? Trust me. Trust me. If there's no faith in your life, if you're not trusting God for anything in your life, or any area in your life, can I take this one step further and ask you, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Because a child of God, the Bible says that it's impossible, without faith, that it's impossible to please Him. You know what I want in my life? I want to please God. I want Him to be pleased with my life. I want Him to be happy with my life. And I want to honor Him in every way. And you know what? Without faith, without putting my trust in Him, the Bible says it's impossible. So what are you trusting God in your life for? The fourth thing here is victorious faith is rewarded in God's way. You see in Exodus, the children of Israel, the Lord rewarded them for their obedience. You know how He rewarded them for their obedience? When they stepped in the water, they walked across on dry ground. They didn't have to get onto the other side and clean the mud off their shoes because there was none. You know, and in my mind, as I could think, you know, as the children of Israel were crossing through there and could watch the water mounding up and mounding up and mounding up and mounding up and being on both sides of them, well, I'll tell you what, that'd be a scary thing. But you know what did? God rewarded them, and they went through on dry ground. They didn't even get wet. He rewarded them by destroying their enemy. Egypt and Pharaoh no longer pursued them because God buried them in the sea. God rewards in His way. Faith doesn't mean that you will receive what you want. Faith calls upon the wisdom of God to give us what we need. You know, I thank the Lord that He gives me what I need. I have a lot of wants, but you know what? Sometimes those wants, when I provide them for myself, they lead me away from God. I don't want to be led away from God. We need to trust in the wisdom of God to give us what we need. You know, you may not really particularly care for what the Lord is allowing in your life right now. You may not particularly care for what's happening. But will you have faith in God that He's in control? And at the end of it, if you'll trust Him, if you'll walk with Him, if you'll obey Him, you'll see the enemy defeated. He'll take care of it. He'll provide. Whether it be finances, whether it be struggles, no matter what the situation is, if we'll trust in God and His wisdom to give us what we need instead of what we want. And then faith never goes unrewarded. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you, I guarantee you, it will never, ever, ever go unrewarded. Victorious faith is received through God's Word. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, in verse number 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Every believer needs a regular program of Bible reading. You say, "Preacher, you tell us that all the time." And I'm going to keep telling it to you. And I'm going to keep telling it to you. And I'm going to keep telling it to you. You will not know what God wants in your life outside of the Word of God. If you do not have a regular time that you sit down and read your Bible, what it is, folks, just kind of imagine yourself in a dark room bumping around. You can't see. You don't have direction. You don't know where to go, and you just keep bumping around, and the devil keeps putting obstacles in your way, and you're going from one side to the other, from one side to the other. You want to put that to a stop? Follow the light of the Lord, because where He leads you, He will give you the light to navigate through it. We are in a dark world. We are in a dark, sinful world, it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. How do we get through it? How do we figure it out? Well, we have a regular program of reading God's Word. The Bible is the divine tonic for the soul. The Bible will fix every problem in your life without exception. You say, "Well, I come to church, preacher, and I've asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I know I'm saved, but you know, the Bible really hadn't done a whole lot for me." Well, you know why? I would almost say you're not reading it. And if you're reading it, and it's not working for you. What I'm saying, what I'll tell you here this morning, is you're not applying it. You know, it's really interesting, and I'm going to close with this. You know, the children of Israel, the wise men went to Herod, and they inquired of the king. Herod, he gathered together all the wise men. He gathered the priests and the prophets together. And they told them where Jesus would be born. They told him the town. They told him how. And they spelled it out. You know, I'm kind of curious. Why didn't they go see? Why didn't they go look? They had the truth. They even read the truth. They knew the truth. They were able to quote the truth. You know what they lacked? Application. They lacked obedience. They lacked faith. And because of that lack of obedience and lack of faith, there was a whole bunch of them that died and went to hell unnecessarily. And in our lives, God will direct us. He will show us from the Word of God if we have a daily diet of reading His Word. And we will go the right direction if we apply what He tells us in our heart. You know, sometimes we read things in the Bible and we think, I don't like that. You know, I don't agree with that. You know, and no, I'm not going to do that because I don't like that. I don't agree with it. Well, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you reject God's Word, and when you reject the direction that He gives you from God's Word, well, you're out there on your own. And you wind up getting in a mess. And so that's what I have for you this morning. We'll go ahead and close our time here, and we'll get back together in about 10 minutes. Father in heaven, we thank You so much, Lord, for those who've come out to Sunday school. Lord, we thank You for those who have tuned into Sunday school. And Lord, I just pray that you would have your will and your way in our lives. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to have faith in our life. And Lord, help us to even accept the things in your word that makes no sense to us. And Lord, the reasoning and everything behind it just doesn't make any sense. But Lord, help us to accept it, have faith, and be obedient. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.